For those of you who might not have been in the courtroom at the start of our session, I'll repeat our announcement that Chief Justice Moyer's mother passed away late Saturday evening, and therefore the Chief Justice is not with us today, but he is participating in the cases and will vote. He's read the briefs and will be prepared to cast his vote at the appropriate time. Next case on our agenda is Moffitt versus Eaton. Ms. Nicholson? Yes.
Good morning. My name is Lori Nicholson. I'm honored to represent the trustee, the chair of the trust, and the damage practitioners of 50 years ago. I'm the chair of the public civic municipal building today and continue for many, many years. We're here today because the Court of Appeals decision is could have lost the intent of the by committing politicians who may in any given year sit on the city council to vote the best purposes for the use of the trust fund, coupled with, most importantly, the sole power to receive and extend funds that are distributed from the trust fund.
This trust has existed before the city township was changed.
The trust instrument was written to the last known survivor named in the middle of the tribute from Neptune, died in 1968.
The trust chair of the trust commission came to. So they did not assert that they had the right to question, but they still was not.
Our position is that the grantors, taken together with the terms of the trust instrument, did not in fact intend to allow politicians to elect and attend village council in 1952, the city council, to have veto power, or as has been demonstrated over the past year, a pocket veto power over the trustee's discretion clearly granted.
I read your briefs, and I was having a hard time with the concept that this whole, it sounds a bit exaggerated to say that the city has sole discretion when, and veto power. That's precisely the way I read the trustees' rights under this trust and the way it's exercised. I mean, nobody disagrees that the trustee has the final word here, that the trustee has to assess whether or not this is a sufficient, municipal purpose, et cetera. Right. Right. You seem to be minimizing even the decisions of the lower courts on the very, very important role that the courts agreed that is entrusted to this trustee under the terms of this trust.
I understand your question, Your Honor. Both parties agree that the trustee has the sole discretion to determine a worthy legal municipal purpose.
Okay.
Or whether a suggestion from the community or from the council is fit, and therefore is an appropriate distribution of the trust. The issue is the Court of Appeals, unlike Judge Pierce, said the city council is the only entity that may receive and spend the trust fund. Therefore, as was the situation earlier this year, when the trustee approached by the school board said, I would like to give you a distribution for the benefit of the children of Eaton supporting your high school. And the city council demurred and said, we're not sure that either or not it's worthy legally in this purpose, or it's not a governmental purpose, or it's not something to which we are required to agree with, and therefore will not accept the funding. That authority enough is created by the court in practice and in effect, given the meaning that they gave to the trust. But here, in his decision, avoided that ruling. He said no, that the trustee's sole discretion, crystalline language in the trust agreement, in the trust document, allows him to determine
is there the argument about the that the money, you know, it's too restrictive to say that any distribution of trust funds goes to the, in this case, municipality for a municipal purpose. It seems that the argument that's posed by the trustee is community purpose, in that it was given to the village, that it, you seem to be arguing for words that aren't in the trust, which are, in my view, might be considered community purpose. A school might be a community purpose, but the words of the trust are municipal. Does that make a difference?
We don't think it does. And why Mr. Bill and Mr. Brogan in school chose municipal purpose as opposed to civic purpose as opposed to public purpose or shared purpose,
right,
we don't know. But what we do know is that they intended to benefit public municipal purpose. Did they mean when they said that in the very narrow sense of the government, whatever village council then, city council now, perhaps some future form of government 50 years from now, may decide to make their house their service. We think not. The history of who they were, of how they lived, the lives and potential. And as Judge Pierce quite correctly concluded, if we're going to give the sole discretion term of the trust, meaning in conjunction with the worthy legal municipal purpose phrase of the trust, the only way is to allow the trustee to make distributions as he sees fit, but always guided in his discretion by the trustee.
I know that first part of my question is, doesn't have anything to do with the merits. I'm not missing the sole discretion issue. But the language with regard to the distribution from time to time for not less than 20 or not greater than 20-year periods, what does that language mean? That he has to make some distribution every 20 years, within every 20 years?
That's the way that we look at that, Your Honor.
Okay. Then he made distributions after the date of the last beneficiary, the death of the last beneficiary, for some period of time before the city council ever raised the issue that we are the sole beneficiaries. Is that accurate?
That is our reading of the historical record. That's absolutely accurate. The 20-year term, in effect, we can discern was intended to allow income to build up in the trust, because one of the trust requirements is for a substantial, for a permanent, and perhaps 20 years of income back in 1968 was not enough to really do the job. So they gave him the discretion to let the income build up over a 20-year period so that substantial could also be
met. I read that 20-year language 3 or 4 times trying to figure out what it was supposed to do. Then I went back to check. I assumed that it meant that at least every 20 years he had to make some distribution.
That's correct.
Okay. And then it seems to me there were 2 distributions in that interim period. Would that have been right?
There was one in 1975, I believe, in actually.
Yes.
And the second one in 1982.
Okay. And that's before this issue was then raised.
Correct. Okay. And both of the distributions were made to benefit the Eaton Library, the branch of the Belton Library, the citizens' fund, the building, and the adding. And just quite correctly, you that.
Do you want to say anything about the attorney's fees issue?
Judge Pierce has denied him the Court of Appeals and demanded that issue back. I think the attest in Ohio is quite clear that if the judge certainly has discretion to award attorney fees to a beneficiary or someone who challenges the terms of the trust, but the outcome must benefit the entire court, all of the beneficiaries. Judge Pierce quite correctly that that was not the case here. The city council is taking a position for its own benefit.
Anything else? Thank you very much. Mr. Hollingsworth?
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Tom Hollingsworth. I'm here on behalf of the Eaton
Mr. Hollinsworth, when I suspect I certainly have drawn a number of trusts, maybe not as many as you have, but I drew a number of them. How better do you say it than say, I give sole discretion to the trustee? How can you interpret words sole discretion any other way than even if you conclude that the city council is the ultimate beneficiary on behalf of all the citizens?
Your Honor, reading the term you just described, sole discretion, in the context in which you place the trust, it is the city's position that sole discretion means that the trustee ultimately decides if there is a proposed plan to use of the trust fund, that is a worthy use, and that meets the municipal purpose provision in the trust fund. So sole discretion, we can see, relates to the ultimate authority of the trustee to determine the worthiness of the use.
Is it, you don't see the way I thought you were going to argue about its placement within the sentence. This, one could read that sole discretion as relating only to the timing of distributions, because it says the trustee shall distribute at intervals in his sole discretion, but no less than every 20 years. It looked to me like sole discretion only related to those intervals of payout.
That is correct. There is a limitation on the authority of the trustee. And it says that during the 20-year period when these trusts were first acted in 1968, there were in fact contributions made in 1975 and 1984.
The phrase sole discretion, though, is not placed in that sentence. I don't think in relation to the deeming of worthy purposes. Is that what your reading is? It's only with regard to the intervals of payout.
No, I believe that it applies to both. I believe it applies to the amount of money that could be distributed during the 20-year interval, as well as the ultimate determination of the worthiness.
Okay.
It is not the city's intention that the trustee doesn't have that authority. However, as I indicated before, there is a limitation provision on that authority. And it says that during that 20-year period, if all the income is distributed, the trustee is required to distribute that income to the sole designated beneficiary. And that sole designated beneficiary is the municipality, in this case, the city of Eaton. There's been a lot written in the briefs about the fact that city council is the recipient of the fund. City council is the legislative body for this program.
Getting back to the terms of the trust, how would you then explain the phrase, and I'll read larger phrase, worthy legal municipal purpose of purposes as the trustee may deem advisable? How, in light of your argument, do you explain that phrase?
Sure. In 1951, this court decided the case of State versus Hagman, wherein the court indicated that the phrase municipal purpose is generally accepted as meaning public.
Well, I don't mean that phrase. I mean the phrase, I was just reading in context. As the trustee may be advisable, you're arguing that the municipality, city council, has authority to determine what is a legal municipal purpose, but it appears that the trust document itself says that the trustee may be advisable.
Well, what I'm talking about is that you look at this historically, the entity charged with governing the city is the city council, not a private individual who has to think, and otherwise administering the trust.
But don't we have to look to the intent when this document was drafted, and at that time the trustee was, I believe, either a board member or president of the bank, very much involved in the community, and it appeared that he was chosen because of his great involvement in the community. And in determining the intent of this document, it would appear that much faith and trust was being put into this trustee.
The original trustee was a lawyer.
Okay. But wasn't he president of the bank also?
No, he was.
Some affiliation with that.
The first successor trustee was the president of the National Bank, which was identified as the successor trustee upon the death of the original trustee. And in addition, concern that the city has always had is that his authority to administer the city may be advocated to an individual who is neither elected nor appointed to such. If this person, in the context of the administration of a charitable trust designed to benefit the municipality, should make a determination as to a particular plan of use, tell the city, here's the money, here's what I want you to do, that could be inconsistent not only with the plan that the city already has in place, it could be violative of some law. And therefore, the fiduciary obligations of the city council would not be met. Their goal is to protect the public good. There's been no indication in this record below, and will be none, that this city council has taken any actions that in any way violated the public trust.
And that issue, that I'd like to get practical about the trust. Because that's really how you figure out when you're administering one of these. Practicality also has to be read into it with regard to the specific terms. What if the trustee, because you concede, I think, in your brief that the trustee has a right to determine if it is a worthy project. What if the trustee just finds nothing worthy? Obviously, expanding the municipal building is a worthy project. What if he finds, or the trustee finds, nothing worthy during that entire period of time? Does he have, he has veto power anyway, doesn't he?
Absolutely, in terms of deciding the worthiness of the proposed plan of use. If the trustee finds that there is no worthy plan for use in the community, under the IRS regulations, he's going to have to score a certain amount of trust income every year.
Okay, but what if you really had a worthy project? At a 12 or 15 year period, and the trustee said no. Would you then move to remove the trustee, or would you apply an abuse of discretion standard to him, or try to do that?
Justice Douglas, if the question relates to in a particular calendar year as opposed to over the 20 year period, let's begin with the calendar year. And I don't think it matters which way, but it's an easier argument if we're talking about over a longer period of time with the trustee continuing to use adopt and fund plans that are submitted to him through the city. But if it's done in a single calendar year, conceivably we could bring an action in appropriate. Not necessarily seeking it in a little bit challenging in decision making for him or not in fact.
And that's my concern in deciding this case, because if we leave that those issues open, then the residents of Eaton will end up getting very little and the lawyers will get it all.
Which has been something I've tried hard not to do since I...
Well, you applied for attorney's fees, didn't you?
Because I think we were justified in asking for those fees.
So it could go on each time and you'd feel justified, maybe properly so. Because you're benefiting the trust. I mean, we've got to somehow end this so that the lady's money goes to what they wanted it to go to.
Let's deal specifically with the facts of this case. In December of 94, the probate court judge unilaterally granted an amendment to this trust. This trust document, not only getting the Justice City or having trouble determining that the sole designated beneficiary was the municipal entity. At the time the trust were drafted, it would have been the village. Ultimately, the successor of the city. There was no doubt about that. But at the time the trust was in the unilateral in 94, the trustee believed that the language was plain and unambiguous, and there was no reason to change the distribution language. They changed it from distributing the income to the city to distributing the income for the benefit of the city. So I suggest that that is not the same language. What they did was they tried to create an environment where they would make the trust fit their situation, where the trustee could then argue that he wants to give the money to the broader community, i.e. the individuals. He would have the individuals come to him with proposed ideas. He would then make a determination as to whether or not their ideas fit the words of the municipal purpose provision, and then fund those. And he would fund them by giving the money directly to the individuals as opposed to giving the money to the sole designated.
I noted when that amendment was made, it was made, ex parte may be too strong, but it didn't seem to me anybody was notified except the trustee and the judge.
Attorney General.
The Attorney General's office, okay, who had no objection.
Correct.
All right. should somebody else have been served?
Absolutely. And in this case, it was our contention, which is why we're offering the decision in motion, that the designated beneficiary day, the city, should have been notified and given an opportunity to comment on whether or not this deed will be amended to the trust. As a result of filing the 60D motion, we ultimately negotiated a settlement which reinstated the original distribution plan. Now, we agreed to some modifications for the purposes of improving the administration of the trust in conformity with current IRS regulations. But those agreements had actually nothing to do with the question as to whether or not the trustee had the full discretion to decide whom to give the money to. And then, once we decide that question, the fact that the city was identified as the sole designated beneficiary, I'll just select the probate to replace the juvenile court project date. He wants me to build the building over here. I'll do that.
So your position is that the amendment subsequently vacated strengthens your argument?
Absolutely. What I would also indicate is that what we proposed, not only at the trial court level, but on appeal, is that because this is a charitable trust, because its intentions are to benefit the the benefit even and prove that they have its more benefits for the residents. Part of the problem that we've always had is that if you allow the trustee unfettered discretion to decide which projects fit the worthy vehicle municipal purpose provision, then allocate those funds to the city, and then force the city to apply those funds based on the trustee's discretion, we have plenty of problems. For example, a lot of the things that we could do as a city is we bring to the table our skills and expertise with respect to determining what we need to work.
That's our plan. Well, Council, what really is the problem if the person administrating the trust says, okay, this year or for the next 5 years, I have determined we're going to award the income to the village, the city now, for the following worthy purpose, period. That's it. That's not what you're going to do. You'll get the money that stays there and set up until 20 years go by. Authorizes the trustee to do.
Now, you authorize the trustee to use the money to meet the specified purposes established by the set forth, and that is to use it just as it has on the long-term benefit.
Okay. Well, say it meets all of that in the eyes of the probate judge, potentially with the probate judge.
Yeah. I'm not clear what check is. Obviously, the trust relationship or the relationship between the trustee and the city is important because during the pendency of all of this, there's been at least one distribution made to the city for the purpose of building and emergency levels. So, clearly, the fact that the city has ideas, they propose those ideas, the trustee determined that it was a worthy purpose. So, I believe there's a problem with the trustee deciding to leave the municipal purpose.
The trustee is probably just as capable of determining what the legal purpose is as the city council.
He or she may be, but this court says in the past that that is the job of the legislative body, and trustee is not a member of the legislative body.
So what is it that you want?
What I want ultimately is the ability of the city to participate in screening the plans and uses so that the city doesn't find itself in a position where there's a distribution from the trust.
Well, if the set law wanted that, it would have said it does gave this authority to the mayor or to the city council.
Well, in the administration of the trust, clearly, the trustee would be better served with a practice to allow distribution by the city. That doesn't suggest that the trustee doesn't see all the proposals. It just says that the city gets a chance to recommend to the trustee, these are the things
Thank you, Mr. Ellsworth. Saved about 5 minutes of your time. We proceed.
What can the trustee say to the city? We think the legal purpose this year for the next 5 years is we'll give you the money contingent upon you committing to give it to the school district for a new high school. So while that wouldn't appear to be within the trust, you negotiated a deal that made everybody happy. So that's good enough.
We believe that the education without question, the only issue was, can the trustee, can you pay the city to futile reception money on the tax, give it direct to school? Our answer to the trial court, yes, just appears to be the court appealed by saying, no, you must distribute the funds only to the city government. And if you get into a situation as you propose, where the parties are unable to, the council has come up with a project, the trustee does not think over the but there are all these other projects out there from schools, from citizens, from wherever they may come from. So the trustee, it is the trustee's discretion to be hamstrung by the political agenda of the council. We think not. It is not a reasonable interpretation of the document.
Well, but doesn't the document say give the net income to the village?
Yes, it does. And we are below that the term used, village of Eaton, comma, Preble County, comma, Ohio, did not mean village of government. It meant to benefit their village. And this work identified as the first paragraph would be from the village of Eaton, comma, Preble County, comma, Ohio. Certainly should be the intent of the judge.
Doesn't a municipal purpose, though, benefit the whole village by definition?
Yes, it must. Mm-hmm. And the reason the trust provided it one of the charitable, allowed the charitable for governmental or municipal. That to me, they are not equal. Municipal can be slightly different, it can be broader. Government changes, powers of government change all the time.
It might strike us in 1998 as odd that somebody would give money to a government entity, but it's possible that's what these folks wanted to do. Huh?
People used to do that all the time.
Sure.
There are thousands of handfuls of trusts, restricting versus handfuls, where the grantor left the money to the county of Essex, who will soon be held trust by commissioners of that county for use of the money.
Sure.
Not an unknown gas not.
Ms. Nicholson, one other thing on the sole discretion, the wording of the trust. I know it would, you read this, the placement of the phrase sole discretion bracketed within the intervals of time as being broader than that. You read it as being applicable to the purpose, selecting the purposes.
Yes, we do. And that is made clear by the later phrase in the trust instrument.
Well, that's true, but sole discretion is not. I mean, we're pretty particular when we construe trust documents about placement of phrasing.
Yes, and it was placed up front before the discussion of the time term. There's no question.
Within the time term.
From time of the
yeah, it says at whatever intervals in his sole discretion. But no less than every 20 years, and then for worthy purposes, the trustee deems advisable. You want to put that at sole discretion, read it again in a later part, and to buttress the deems advisable?
Implicit in the giving of the money is the discretion to give it to the program.
Although the timing is such a separate issue, this is interesting to say every 20 years at a minimum, but whenever, at your intervals that you choose. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Case is submitted. We'll take it under advisement and give you our opinion.